Page of the Wind, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Name of the Wind, page by page. This is page 599, and in the 10th anniversary edition, 576. Them rather badly in my wild attempt to climb the Greystone last night. My musician's calluses had saved my fingertips for the most part, but my knuckles were scraped badly and crusted with blood. Other parts of me hurt so much that I hadn't even noticed. My stomach clenched at the sight of them. But when I opened and closed my hands, I could tell they were just painfully skinned, not seriously injured. As a musician, I always worried that something might happen to my hands. My work as an artificer had doubled that anxiety. "It looks worse than it is," I said. "How long has the Dracus been gone?" I asked. "At least a couple hours. It wandered away a little after the sun came up." I looked down from my high vantage on the Greystone Arc. Last evening, the hilltop had been a uniform expanse of green grass. This morning, it looked like a battlefield. The grass was crushed in places, burned to stubble in others. There were deep furrows dug in the earth where the lizard had rolled or dragged its heavy body across the turf. Getting down from the Greystone was harder than getting up had been. The top of the arch was about 12 feet off the ground, higher than was convenient for jumping. Normally, I wouldn't have worried about it, but in my stiff, bruised condition, I worried I'd land awkwardly and turn my ankle. Eventually, we managed it by using the strap of my travel sack as a makeshift rope. While Denna braced herself and held one end, I lowered myself down. The sack ripped wide open, of course, scattering my belongings, but I made it to the ground with nothing more serious than a grass stain. Then Denna hung from the lip of the rock, and I grabbed her legs, letting her slide down slowly. Despite the fact that I was bruised all down my front side, the experience did a lot to improve my mood. I gathered up my things and sat down with needle and thread to sew my travel sack back together. After a moment, Denna returned from her brief trip into the trees, pausing to pick up the blanket we'd left below. It had several large claw rents from when the Dracus had walked over it. "Have you ever seen one of these before?" I asked, holding out my hand. She raised an eyebrow at me. "How many times have I..." That's the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy. And ooh, the cutoff on that page is really breaking up the rhythm of this joke.
Is the joke?
Yeah,
I guess you're on the 10th anniversary.
"How many times have I heard that one before?" is her reply.
Well, wait, what is he asking her if she's seen?
"You ever seen one of these?"
He's actually asking her, we'll get to on the next page, but can you see how that sounds like an innuendo?
No.
"You ever seen one of these before?"
Yeah, but what before?
A penis.
Okay, well, what is he referring to that seems penis-like?
We're going to find out on the next page.
Okay.
It's a straight line. It's a line that begs one to riff on with sexual innuendo, which is what Denna's doing.
Denna's been up for a while. I think this supports my previous statement that she doesn't sleep through the night and probably didn't sleep very much after Quoth watched her fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because she was there awake when the Dracus was there before sunrise, and she watched it go as well. So I feel like Denna didn't get a lot of sleep. I also appreciate that this book doesn't shy away from the harsh reality of, like, getting down from a high place. Not very...
dexterously?
Smoothly. Yeah, yeah, dexterously. Like, they don't vault down, or they don't just skip it. They have to, like, lower Quoth down with the sack and then have Denna, like...
Shuffle down.
Yeah, he holds her ankles and, like, sort of hugs her as she shimmies on her way down. And yeah. They pee.
Yeah.
This is a book where they pee.
My God. Yeah.
And I have to say, I appreciate that.
I do too.
Okay, yeah. Wait. How do we know that?
Because Denna returns from a trip to the trees.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. Yes.
Famously, in shows like Star Trek, where they never pee, and in the blueprint of the Enterprise, there's only one bathroom, and it's kind of a joke to that. Well,
presumably they just beam it out of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's beam what I would do.
You'd have to go into the beamy room every time.
No, they can beam you from anywhere on the ship.
In fact, why do they have the beamy room?
Maybe it makes it easier.
Okay.
Because I guess the only places they can beam you are either to the transporter room or to sick bay, right?
They definitely beam people from the ship to other places.
Maybe you can beam people from other places on the ship, but not to other places on the ship. Maybe you need like receivers.
I'm sure I've seen someone beam from somewhere on the ship to somewhere else on the ship.
Whatever. Anyway, this is not Star Trek minute. This is Page of the Wind. But I agree with you that I like that verisimilitude. Yes, it's one of the reasons that this book is special is that it takes the time to explain those things, and it like makes Quoth and Denna seem more like real people and less like characters in a fantasy story, that they like I would have to struggle with getting down a sheer 12-foot surface, because like if you jump from like something higher than you are, like you're gonna hurt yourself, unless you are, and even if you are a teenager and your body is remarkably resilient.
It still works to get down. Even, like, working up yourself to jump down from a place like that is...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mentally difficult as much as it is physically.
Yeah, unless we're all Spider-Man, which, unfortunately, we're not.
Sadly, nobody is Spider-Man.
Mm. But...
Well, I mean, someone is. Just not a real someone.
Mm. Is someone a someone if they're not real?
I'm just saying, somewhere in an alternate reality, there's a lot of spider people.
Mm. Well, yes, there's a whole Spider-Verse out there.
There
you go. A Spider-Ham.
Yep.
A spectacular Spider-Ham.
So inventory, because when he puts his bag to get back together, you get kind of an idea of, like, and they're collecting stuff. So he's got his travel sack. He has needle and thread. They have the blanket that's now torn.
There was food in the travel sack, but they ate most of that, right? Like his apples, the carrots, and whatever.
Mm-hmm. We don't get another inventory of his belongings. Just his belongings were scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, we know that they have a blanket, needle, and thread. And,
that's true.
Like, you get a little bit of it.
Yes, it's not a full inventory, but it is an inventory.
But it gives us an excuse to bring out the item that Quoth is about to talk about.
Yes, which is about to become important.
It's going
to
be the rock, isn't it?
It's the Lodestone, yes.
Yeah.
Mm, that's cheating.
It's cheating, but I don't want to leave our listeners in the
lurch.
Also,
it's not totally cheating, I guessed.
Mm. Well, the rock.
Yes, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
you both knew what I was talking about when I said the rock.
Future President of the United States, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Who, as we all know, in this book, beats the Drakus up, cocks his eyebrow at it, performs the People's Elbow, and defeats it soundly.
What is the People's Elbow?
That's like his signature wrestling move.
He calls it the People's Elbow?
Yeah. I don't know much about wrestling, but I know that all the wrestlers have like a signature move that is their thing.
What does the People's Elbow look like?
I think it's an elbow drop.
Okay.
Except the people are behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
Like I say, I don't know much about wrestling. Google it.
Nah, I'm good.
As much as Quoth is having a lech here, it's still, you know, like it's harmless.
It's a comparatively harmless lech.
It's a harmless lech, yeah.
He's not doing anything lecherous. He's just enjoying, you know, what he is doing.
Yeah,
Denna is given as much opportunity to play this.
Yeah, if any, like, Denna's being way more lecherous than him. She's made like two sexual innuendos in a span of two pages.
Like, clearly they are in a zone where they can comfortably lech at one
flirt.
Another. Yeah.
They can flirt.
Yeah. And it's funny and they're both totally fine with it. So that's good.
Yes.
I appreciate that Quoth goes down first. I feel like in another story, you know, the man would have lowered the lady and then jumped down or something, but
I mean, you can read it as being equally chivalrous the other way. He goes down first so that he can help her down.
Yeah, all that said, they also could have done like the big fantasy thing where like, oh, he catches her, she jumps off because he landed first or some mm-hmm. random thing. Yeah, but they don't do that, which is
definitely not. In fact, basically they help each other, right? He needs her help to get down first using his bag strap, and then she needs his help, you know, so he can like kind of catch her but not really.
Yep. I believe we have a really long letter, so
it's not that long.
Okay.
This is from Vroni. The title is I Have Things. She writes, Hi, Trio. I've just caught up after weeks of binging Page of the Wind. What am I going to do with my life now? So it's finally time to write a letter. Apparently, I'm the first horse person to send you one. So on to the subject of horses.
They are real. The horse people.
The horse people, yes. You discussed if it would be possible to ride 70 miles in one day, and yes, that is entirely possible. There are even competitions called endurance riding regarding covering long distances in one day up to 99 miles. However, a horse must, of course, be trained to do this without getting injured or even die. On another note, ginger is indeed used as a pain medication for horses, so a gingered up nag could be a lame horse treated with ginger or other pain medication. It would then appear healthy to a buyer, but start to limp when the medication wears off. And sorry, Jeremy, but I have to correct you on this one. Gallop and canter are basically the same. A gallop is just a lot faster than a canter. To me as a horse person, it also really feels like Pat knows horses, especially the paragraph on page 541. Most problems with horses and so on forth. Gets me every time I read or listen to the book. On another subject, Scoivin's last name, Schimmelfennig, reminds me a lot of the German last name, Schimmelfennig.
Whoa!
I can't remember if it was Nick or Jeremy who said it sounded German, but you're right, that was Jeremy. Good ear there, Jer. Keep up the good work. Greetings from Jeremy Vronny.
Wow. Greetings from Germany?
Germany.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, horse person. I know yes. I know that your people have been hunted to near extinction.
Mm-hmm. In the great horse wars.
Yes.
No, seriously, thank you for edifying us. I did not know that about ginger, that it had medicinal properties.
No, I thought entirely it was butt oriented.
Yes.
Ginger makes sense as a medicinal property because there's always health nuts putting it in smoothies and stuff.
Mm.
I have seen it on the grams.
Ah, yes.
I'm using those short forms now because I'm cool.
I think it was me who said gallop and canter were different.
I mean, I also thought they were, so we can both take the L on that.
There you go. I guess
I know nothing. I am Jon Snow.
I want to know, I can't believe you told us that Schimmelfennig is a last name, but you didn't tell us what it means.
Well, it means...
Rude.
We could just look it up on the internet.
It means having Scheim of Fennig.
I guess that's better than having Neim of Fennig.
I don't know. Vroni will have to tell us.
I guess so.
Or we could just Google it.
We're very busy people. I mean, yeah. We've got all day.
There's a lot...
Would you like to finish that song?
Yes, but not here.
So take a gulp and take a breath and grab a pen and sign the scroll. Flotsam, jetsam, now I've got her, boys. The boss
is on a roll.
You par unfortunate souls.
You happy now?
Yep.
Listeners, you can tune into our forthcoming doom metal project. Which will be out from Rise Against Records any week now.
Featuring artwork by Jordan Ahini.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Autotectonic.
That's right.
Are these names of things real?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's bad, isn't it?
No, it's good.
No, this is a verbal contract.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You have signed it by speaking.
Does that count as speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are words.
Those are words.
Legally binding words. And you can tune into more of us on tomorrow's page.
Of
the Wind!